gift is the Holy Spirit. In a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So they're, you know, they've been talking about the kingdom of God. So one of them asks a question. They say, they gather around him and ask, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to make all things right? You know, we've been living as this puppet kingdom under Rome. Is this the time, you know, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. Is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That you're going to make all things right? That you're going to bring about God's promises to our ancestors? And here's his response. He says to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But, here's his answer, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's not for you to know the details. It's not for you to, you know, have everything figured out. By the way, you're not in control, guys. But here's what I want you to know. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. By my power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. Not only in Jerusalem, not only in Judea, that area around Jerusalem, kind of like we would think of, you know, not just in Galesburg, not just in Illinois, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So not just in Galesburg, not just in Illinois, not just the United States, but the whole world. You will be my witnesses. It says after he said this, and I want you to think about this. This is part of the answer. This is part of his answer to their question. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. I mean, what was that like? They were standing with him there, and all of a sudden, another passage in scripture says that while he was blessing them, you know, like while he had his arms outstretched, while he was blessing them, he was taken up from them. It's like they could watch him go up. He was going up. Just going up. What was that like? You know, have you ever had a Mylar balloon and it gets lost? You know, you're hanging onto it and you're trying to get everything in the car and it escapes. Or maybe you bought that, you know, a special Mylar balloon for, you know, your son or your daughter or grandkid or a niece or a nephew. And you, in the midst of trying to tie it on their wrist, it lets go. And it just goes up, up and away. And you watch it until it disappears. Jesus went up. And it says, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They watched him until they couldn't see him anymore. Cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This wouldn't be the first time that two men in white have appeared to the disciples, to Jesus' followers. In the Gospel of Luke, so the first part of Luke's story, the first part of Luke's account, after the resurrection, two men in lightning clothes, white clothes, appear to the women and basically tell them, you know what? He's been raised from the dead. Jesus has been raised from the dead, just as he told you he would be. They come and they explain to the disciples, remind the disciples what's going on. Don't just keep standing here looking up into the sky. You guys have work to do. He's coming back. He's coming back just like he left. But don't stand around here looking for him to come back. He's left you with an assignment. He has something for you. So the disciples questioned to Jesus, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? You know what, guys? It's not in your power. It's not in your control. All you need to know is that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and that you will be my witnesses. And then, as part of his answer, he ascends. He leaves. The disciples, in verse 12, it tells us, it says, then the disciples returned to Jerusalem. They're like, you know what? We better get back to Jerusalem. Jesus gave us a command. It says, do not leave Jerusalem, right? In verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, it's not very far, I've walked that. It's a really easy walk, down and up hills. It's there, you can go there, you can see it. These are actual places. But they returned to Jerusalem. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. What was their response when they kind of came to their senses, when the men in white appeared to them and said, you know, why are you looking up in the sky? What was their response? To go back to Jerusalem. They went back to Jerusalem. They went up in the upper room where they'd been waiting and where they'd been gathering. And they continued to wait. And how did they wait? By praying, in prayer. In prayer. Jesus invites us to be a part of his ministry, to join him in his ministry. The book of Luke, that was just the beginning of Jesus's ministry. Jesus invites us to join him in his ministry. How? By our own effort, by running around with our heads cut off, trying to do all this different kind of things and driving everybody nuts and crazy around us. Like, you know, the whole world is on our shoulders. Like, we can do it. Anybody think they can do it? No. Jesus invites us to join him in his ministry. This is what it means to be the church. Jesus invites us to join him in his ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of the Father, for the sake of the world. Let me say that again. I've said it many times. If it sounds familiar, it's because I've said it before. Jesus invites us to join him in his ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of the Father, for the sake of the world. So here we see Jesus' disciples, the early church. There were about 120 of them. gathered in the upper room, waiting and praying. It's kind of like this pause. How many people in the room are musicians? Anybody ever played an instrument or read music? Yeah. And you know, sometimes when, especially if you play a woodwind or a brass instrument where you have to blow in, there will be like a little pause, like a little apostrophe. And you know when you see that, you can take a quick breath in. Just kind of pause and you get breath for the next phrase. We're in a pause right now. The resurrection has happened. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Jesus has ascended. And when Jesus ascends and he goes up, you know, sometimes we think, well, Jesus went goodbye. He went bye-bye. He's not here anymore. No. Jesus went up. God went up. Jesus went up that he might be enthroned and that his power might be released on this earth through his people, the church. You ever wondered if the church is important? The church is Jesus's body on earth. And because Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, his power may be poured out through us, his body, his church, on this earth. What does it mean to be a Christian? What is a Christian? Christian is someone who's been saved from the power, from the guilt of sin. Set free from the power of sin and lives a life of holiness following the example of Jesus. And yet so many of us, when we think about our lives and when we come to church, we're thinking about how can I clean myself up? You know, this is my improvement plan. This is my weight loss goal. How can I make myself better? But Jesus invites us to be a part of his ministry. Jesus invites us to a story that is much, much larger than ourselves. That's much, much bigger than cleaning ourselves up and making ourselves better and improving ourselves. He does that, by the way. But that's not what it's about. It's about joining Jesus in his ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of the Father for the sake of the world. Jesus is ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And because he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, his power is released on this earth. And so there's an invitation for us today. There's an invitation for us not to assume just because we're in a church building and we come to church every Sunday that the Holy Spirit is somehow active in our lives. We don't want to be presumptuous. But there's an invitation to wait. And to wait in prayer. To wait knowing that it's not by our strength, but it's by God's strength. It's not by our power, it's by the Holy Spirit's power. So Jesus invites us to wait in prayer. This week, I'd like to just leave that as an invitation for us as a community, as the body of Christ, and also as individuals. How might Jesus be calling you? Where might he be inviting you? How might he be inviting you to wait in prayer on him this week? Let's pray.